a few minutes. I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear and a heart to receive your word. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. And Father, I thank you for your anointing upon me to minister your word. And Father, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. I also want to welcome, not only I welcome you here in the sanctuary, but I welcome all those that watching us via live stream. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe God has something that he wants to speak to your heart today. You believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter, the first chapter. Now, 2 weeks ago, we were there at 2 Peter, the first chapter. And so we want to go back there again this morning. Hallelujah. 2 Peter, the first chapter. I think one of the biggest, toughest struggle that believers have, Christians have, I won't say it's the toughest, but I would say that it's up there, is knowing who they are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Because you can tell it by their lifestyle, how they act, how they react. With many, there's hopelessness, especially in some situations. But we need to learn more about who Christ is, and we need to learn more about who we are in him. You still with me? Amen. Now, I grew up as a child hearing a lot of sad songs in church. Now, I'll be honest with you, as the pastor of this church, I don't want any sad songs sung in this church. If it's full of sadness and sorrow, don't sing it. Amen. I grew up hearing songs like, and I'm not being mean, I'm not being critical, but I grew up hearing songs like, and some of you have too, some of you close to my age have too, motherless child have a hard time. Well, I'm motherless, I have a mother, she's with the Lord. But you know what? I still have the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you, your parents have gone to be with the Lord in more recent times. But you know what? You still have the joy. You can't have the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Praise God. So we don't need to sing that song. And again, there are other songs. And I'm not saying that to offend anybody. I'm just saying that when you come to the house of God, you need to come to be built up.
Right.
When we assemble together, you need to leave stronger than you were when you came. And I could go name some others. I won't. That's not the reason I'm up here. But do you have 2 Peter, the first chapter? Now, you need to know who you belong to. You do know who you belong to, right?
Amen.
Amen. Who do you belong to?
Jesus.
Yes, Jesus Christ. That's who you belong to. If you're born again, you're his. Amen. Who's on the inside of you? Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Christ, is on the inside of us, right?
Amen.
Amen. So we know who we belong to. We know who's on the inside of us. But do we know what else we have on the inside of us? And that's my subject. Know what's in you. Know what's in you. There's a saying I heard years and years and years ago, but it has stuck with me. And the saying is simply this: it's what you know that makes you go. It's what you know that makes you go. Hallelujah. Remember, the word of God says, God said in his word, that my people are destroyed because of a lack of what?
Knowledge.
Amen. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. We need to know something. And we need to know what's on the inside of us. We need to know what God has given us. Because what God has given us will put us over in life, and it will keep the devil under our feet. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Get him off your shoulder and get him under your feet. If he's on your shoulder, he's going to be whispering in your ears all the time, all the time, all the time. Praise God. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll begin reading at verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. Say, that's me. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you how? Yeah, through the knowledge or in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. As his divine power has, everybody say has. As his divine power has given to us all things. Everybody say all things. That pertain to what? That pertain to what? Now, let me read that again. I didn't finish verse 3, but I want to reread it. I want to reread what I just read in the third verse. As his divine power has, past tense, given to us all things, that's everything, that pertain to life, not death, but to life and to godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Oh, hallelujah. Look at verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these what? Great and precious promises, yeah. Hallelujah. Exceedingly great and precious promises. That through these you may be what? partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, I need to read verse 4 again. Don't y'all think so? See, you got to understand something. As a Christian, as a believer, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. If you're born again, let me see the born again believers. Raise your hand. I testify by raising your hand. Glory to God. All right. Well, then, why don't you tell yourself this? Say, I am in this world, but I am not of this world. Say it again. I'm in the world. See, we're in the world for a season, for a God-given purpose. I'm in the world, but I am not of the world. That's what Jesus said. And we got to get this on the inside of us. It's got to live on the inside of us. Amen. We're not claiming that we're better than any other human being. We're not claiming that we're better than any other human being. We just know who is on the inside of us and what's on the inside of us. Or we got to learn that. Now, back to verse 4. It says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Another verse says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why don't you say that? Say it again. Amen. Now, see, you got to know that. You got to know that. You know, you can jump and shout and do all that, but if you don't know who you are, the devil's still going to kick you around. If you don't know the word of God, he's still going to kick you around. If you don't know God's word, he's still going to steal from you. Hallelujah. Notice how the time it says in these four verses that it's through our knowledge. It's through our knowledge. Sometimes we don't want to settle down and learn. That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, Pastor, every time I try to slow down and read my Bible, even when I come to church, I get sleepy. Well, can I help you a minute? Saturday night, go to bed early. Because your body is still earthly. And if it goes without sleep, guess what? When you sit down, it's going to get sleepy. So go to bed early and rest it. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, we got to move on. Y'all still with me? We're still in 2 Peter chapter 1. But now, I want you to drop down to verse 8. Now, this is some powerful stuff here. I could read all of it, but right now, for the sake of time, I'm just going to go to verse 8. And now it talks about some things that we should have, right? And then when you get down to verse 8, it says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful, how? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't want to live in this earth, on this earth, and not be fruitful. I don't want to live here and not bear fruit for the Lord. I don't want to be a fruitless tree. Are you still here? Now, there's another translation. I'll read it. It reads it like this. This is verse 8. It says, since these virtues are already planted deep within, and you possess them in abundant supply, they will keep you from being inactive or fruitless in your pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ more intimately. Now, here's what I want to say. When you were born again, and I told you this 2 weeks ago, and I'm telling you again, when you were born again, Christ came into your heart. Amen. Because if he's not in there, you're none of his. You don't belong to him, but you can change that. Oh, glory to God. We can do something about that. But if you're born again, if you're a Christian, Jesus Christ is living in here. The Spirit of Christ is living on the inside of us. Oh, I like okay, guys upstairs, are you ready to move real fast on the screen? Because I don't want, I want you to see something. You can follow me in your Bibles also. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 on the screen for me real fast. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the what? Spirit of God does what? See, you got to have that knowledge. You got to know that. We are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in us. All right, quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. It says essentially the same thing, but I want to read it to you anyway. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is where? Who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Uh-oh. All righty. Now, I want you to go one other one. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6, 16. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Do you have it upstairs? 2 Corinthians 6, 16. Did I give it to you right? All right, there it is. There it is. And it says, and what agreement has the temple of God? Say, that's me. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. I love this. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. Now, these are three powerful verses, which clearly tells us that the Spirit of the Lord lives on the inside of us. We are God's temple. We are God's holy place. When we were born again, the Bible tells us that we became a new The King James Version says new creature in Christ Jesus, which means we became a new creation on the inside. There was a change on the inside. Why? Because the Holy Spirit don't dwell in any unclean place. We were spiritually dead, and he came in and made us spiritually alive. I say we were spiritually dead, but the Spirit of the Lord came on the inside of us and made us spiritually alive. He recreated our spirits. Now we are a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. Now you may be saying, well, Pastor, I've been knowing all that for years. Well, it don't hurt to hear it again. It don't hurt to hear it again. Hallelujah. Now, that does away with all of our excuses for failure. That does away with all of our excuses to be non-productive. That does away with all excuses for blaming the devil for our weaknesses and our failures. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Remember, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. But the devil is in the world. Matter of fact, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, but the Bible tells us that he is the god of this world. Everybody say little g.
Little g.
Amen. He's not God Almighty, but he's the god of this world system, this fallen system. Hallelujah. Now, knowing that, let's turn back to Galatians chapter 5. That's where we were two weeks ago. Galatians chapter 5. See, what I want you to do is make a decision. I'm going to be a productive Christian. And I'm not looking for excuses to fail. Well, you know, I'm the way I am because that's the way my daddy was. That's the way my mama was. Yeah, I'm just like my daddy. Yep. Just like my daddy. But you know what? Just hold your place there at Ephesians chapter 5. I mean, yeah, Galatians chapter 5. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter, Ephesians, hold your place at Galatians chapter 5, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Because, see, I know the excuses people use to do what they want to do, to say what they want to say. Time been long past for blaming somebody else for your failures. Well, preacher, you know, if things had been better at home, if this had happened, if that had happened, you know, if my wife loved me a little bit more, things would be different. if. Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. You see that? Be imitators of God as dear children. Now, we're coming back to chapter 5, if I have time. But notice what it says. It says, be imitators. I think the King James Version says, be followers of God. Just want to let you know, you have a physical dad and mom, and you, which is your earthly dad and mom. But you have a heavenly Father. And we should always love our parents. You listening to me? We should always love our parents, don't care how good or how bad they may have been. You love your parents. You honor your parents. Can I get an amen on that? But we are not bound by their failures. If you're in Christ, you are not bound by their failures because you have a heavenly Father now. Yes, you have an earthly father, you have an earthly mother, but you have a heavenly Father. And you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So now what we need to say is, you know what? I'm just like my daddy. I'm just like my daddy. Well, which daddy are you talking about? I'm talking about my heavenly daddy. I act like my daddy. I talk like my daddy. My heavenly daddy. You know, your earthly dad, hopefully not, but your earthly dad may have cursed, sweared, whatever, you know, you don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. We don't have to live that way. Praise God. Are you still here with me? We have a heavenly Father. Now we are supposed to imitate him. Imitate him. Imitate him. Imitate him. Well, Pastor, how do I imitate him? Well, that's the reason you get in the Word of God and you learn about your daddy. Get to know your daddy. Get to know his Word. Do I have anybody out here? Get to know his Word. Speak his words after him. Now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. Now, I told you earlier, when you were born again, the Spirit of Christ came on the inside of you. And that Spirit that's on the inside of you will bear fruit on the inside of you. In other words, and I read it in a different translation earlier, when we were born again, the perfect Spirit came on the inside of us. There's nothing imperfect about the Holy Spirit. The perfect Spirit. Everything we need, he brought with him. Amen. But then how do... Let me read something to you here, and then we'll move on. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading once again at verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You see that? That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's who he is. That's the essence of who he is. And remember, I told you 2 weeks ago, the very first word, or the very first thing mentioned here is love. Is love. Is love. I said it's love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you don't have to turn over there, but it tells us that love never fails. Remember that? Love never fails. Now that's powerful. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Even before the earth was formed, God loved us. And he knew we were coming. Amen. He knew. God loved us. And even though man fell, Adam fell, we were born in sin. We had to be born again. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Jesus told Nicodemus what? You must? You must be born again. But it was all because God's love. God's love has never failed me, and it never will. And it'll never fail you either. Love is a powerful thing. Hallelujah. So the very first thing, very first fruit that is mentioned is love. Guess what? We ourselves must make a decision that I'm going to walk in love, and I can do it. Well, Pastor, how can you say that? How can you say, because the greater one lives on the inside of me. The spirit of love lives on the inside of me. The perfect spirit lives on the inside of me. And here's the thing. As we receive the word of God, as we hear the word of God, and as we receive the word of God, and as we obey the word of God, guess what? These qualities will manifest in our lives. Hallelujah. Don't tell me you can't love a certain individual, because you can love them supernaturally. Natural human love says, I love you as long as you're beneficial to me. Supernatural love, the agape love of God, says, I love you no matter how you act or what you do, I still love you. And I have the God-given ability to love you, because I'm loving you from the inside. Excuse me. I'm loving you from the inside. I'm hearing the word of God. I'm doing the word of God. I'm obeying the word of God. Because of that, the love of God grows on the inside of me, and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Sweet, now I said, there's no excuse for hate. There's no excuse for bitterness. But you just don't know this, and you don't forget it. Jesus already told us to love our enemies, didn't he? Jesus told us already to do good to your enemies. Now, I know that's maybe not necessarily a popular message, and it's certainly not a shouting message or a seat jumping message. You can't swing from any chandeliers in this church because we don't have any. Well, we do out in the foyer. But my point is this. If God said it, that settles it. You know what? If I have difficulty with an individual or individuals, you know what I do? I go to God, I go to His Word, and I make a decision. First of all, if I have anything against them, I forgive them, whether I feel like it or not, because this is a decision that I make. I don't have to feel like I forgave them. I made a decision that I forgive them, and I'm not going back on my decision. And guess what? The Holy Spirit said, yes, that's what I want. I'm going to help you in that. I'm going to help. We have a helper, folks. Hallelujah. Every person that treated you wrong, every person that's mistreated you, every person that's hurt your feelings. Remember, God, this, God already knew about it before they did it. He already knew it was going to happen. And if you're His child, He already had you ready and prepared for it. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You go back to the Word of God. But before you know what to do, you make a decision that I don't know what to do about this and concerning this particular situation, but one thing I am going to do is what's right. So I'm going to seek God. I'm going to look at His Word. I'm going to spend some time in prayer about the situation and for the people behind the situation. Because love never fails. You're a winner. I say, we are winners. Now, how many of you truly believe that you are a winner? Let me see your hand. Come on, let me see your hand. And if you can't raise your hand, you can get there. You can get there. You believe you are a winner. Glory to God. In Christ Jesus. Now, praise God, hallelujah. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, remember, it says, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, be followers of God, imitators of God. And what does it say in verse 2? Now, isn't that amazing? Now, in Galatians chapter 5, it says, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and so forth. But love is the very first thing given, right? Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, we are told to imitate God, right? I say, right? We're told to imitate God, but then the very next thing it says is, and walk in love. Let me tell you something. When we walk in love, we are imitating God. We are acting like God. We're following God. And the greater one on the inside of you, when you make that decision, I'm following God and I'm walking in love. That greater one on the inside of you said, that's what I want to hear. I'm here to help you. You can do this. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Hallelujah. Now, why am I ministering this today? There's a whole lot of other things I could be ministering. You know, the Bible's thick. But as a minister of God, the number one thing on God's heart when it comes to his people is their relationship with each other. Now, you can, and I'm not going much longer, but you can sit here now and you can hear me preach. You can hear me minister. But that's just one part of it. What are you going to do with what you're hearing? What are you going to do with it? Now, are you going to go out and meet that person you're mad at, whatever? If you, hopefully you, nobody's mad at anybody, but if you're mad at, or you have a problem with someone, are you still going to treat them the way you used to treat them? Or is there a change taking place in your life? See, walking with God is all about change. It's all about change. That's the reason we have the perfect Spirit, the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of us so that he can perfect change on the inside of us as we will yield to him, as we yield to him. Sometimes, you know, it's easy to be bullheaded, stubborn. It's easy to say, yeah, but. I want you to remember this. Don't you ever forget this. When you start butting, remember that's what goats do. And I don't want to be classified as a goat. Sheep follow. Goats butt. But you don't understand, I've been like this all my life. It's time to change. It's past time to change. If you're born again, you can do it with his help. With his help. You still here? Look over at your neighbor and ask, you get anything out of this? Let's ask him. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Now, I'm going just a few more minutes. Let's go back to the book of Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians, the fifth chapter. Now, we talked about love, love being the number one thing. But notice what it says next. Can somebody tell me what it says next? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Love, joy. Joy, joy, joy is important to God. Joy should be important to you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You folks should be so full of joy, you can't wait to get to church and just kind of floating in here. Glory to God. I'm talking about those of you that know the Lord and you've been walking with the Lord a while. We know folk have to grow. We understand that. You have to grow. But it concerns me when folk been saved 50 years and the person that's been saved 6 months got more joy than they do. Now, I'm either preaching or meddling. Which is it? But it's the truth. Joy is important. I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. You know, the Bible talks about familiar spirits. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know, the Bible talks about familiar spirits, which is a demonic spirit, demon spirit, it's familiar spirit. And it's called a familiar spirit simply because it is familiar with certain individuals. that they are assigned to. Because they if you're born again, they know they can't whip you. If you know who you are, but they want to watch you, and they want to look for areas that you're weak in. They want to look for areas that you're weak in. For example, while they're watching you, if they recognize that you if you have a short fuse, y'all know what I mean by short fuse, right? You got a temper problem. If they realize that you got a short fuse, guess what they're going to do? They're going to exploit that. That's what they want to do. So don't let them find anything in you. And matter of fact, I do this myself, and I recommend you do it as well. You know, Father, if there's any weak way, anything that I need to change, show me. Show me. Show me. You know my ways. You know my coming in. You know my going out. You know all about me, Lord. Help me to see myself. Can you pray that for yourself? Lord, help me see myself. Because sometimes we can do things, say things, and we don't realize that what we're doing or saying is not constructive. Lord, help me see myself. Won't you tell him that right now?
Lord, help me see myself.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, joy. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your joy. Don't let nothing steal your joy. If somebody get on your nerve, just love them, pray for them, and just find another seat and pray for them. Pray for them. Don't let them get inside of you. I said, don't let them get inside of you. Why? Nehemiah 8:10. We don't have to turn there for the sake of time. But in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 10, the word of God tells us that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if the devil won't to weaken you, guess what he's going to try to do? Steal your joy. Husbands and wives, let me say this. If your wife happened to say something to you that hurt your feelings, or maybe you say something that hurt her feelings. Now, one thing about ladies, the ushers didn't pass out any rotten eggs or tomatoes, so y'all don't have anything to throw at me, hopefully. But one thing about ladies sometimes, if the husband hurt their feelings, not all ladies, believe me, not all ladies are the same, but some ladies will just stop talking. Husband asks, what's wrong with you? Nothing. You sure? No, I'm fine. Knowing all the time that they're upset at him. And sometimes men do the same thing. But to keep strife out and to keep from losing your joy, you know what you need to do? You need to sit down and talk about it. Notice I said talk about it, not fuss and fight about it. Well, you know it was your fault. You hadn't said that. And now the other one come back. No, it was your fault. Remember what you did? Remember what you... No. Were you? No. Hold up. Now both of you mad and both of you lost your joy. Don't open the door for the devil to come in. You sit down and you talk about it. I said you sit down and you, I said you sit down and you talk about it. And if you don't think that you can talk to each other in a civil manner, the first thing, remember, this is Pastor James's prescription for you. Before you ever begin to talk, join hands and pray. Lord, I may be wrong. She may be wrong. We all, both of us may be wrong, but we know, Lord, you're never wrong. So we invite you into this discussion. We invite peace into this discussion. And thank you, Father, that we're coming to a peaceful conclusion, solution. And then pray afterwards. And then leave it alone. Don't go away saying, well, I'm still her fault. I know I'm meddling in somebody's business, but say what, sister? Glory to God. I got some support. We laugh, but I'm very serious. Because we know what the enemy would try to do, and he won't steal your joy. He want to take the smile right off of your face. He want to take the praise right out of your mouth. Are y'all listening to me? Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm not finished. We'll cover this later. But my final scripture for the day, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. Glory be to God. And I want to leave you with this. In Isaiah 61, Isaiah was prophesied here concerning the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus quoted these verses. Well, I say verses. We have chapter and verses, but nevertheless, it was quoted. The Spirit of the Lord, this is verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. You see that? To comfort all who mourn. Look at verse 3. To console those who mourn in Zion. Look at this. To give them beauty for ashes. That's our Lord, isn't it? But look at the next one. The oil of what? The oil of joy for what? For mourning. Glory to God. And he went on to say, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Let me tell you, he has given us what we need. Love, joy. If you've been disappointed, draw on your joy. Somebody hurt your feeling, draw on your joy. Pastor, how do I draw on my joy? Start praising it. You start praising it. You lift your hands, you lift your voice, and you begin to magnify the Lord. And I want to tell you that supernatural joy will come upon you, glory to God. Amen. He'll turn your tears into laughter. Glory to God. Y'all listening to me? And take all, I'm closing now, take all the buts out the way. Just do it. Just do it. God promised he would come through for us. And guess what? It's all in here. All we have to do is draw it out by obeying the word, hearing the word of God, receiving the word of God, obeying the word of God. Do what the word says. The word says, praise God, then praise him. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit will manifest in your life. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You know, the Bible never said that God was going to have a group of bunch of sad, beat down people. It doesn't say that. It tells us that there'll be trials, there'll be tests, there'll be trials. But every time that's mentioned, there's always the solution. Amen. Always a solution. Praise the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. The peace of God. We hadn't gotten there yet. That passes all understanding. Shall keep you. Listen to me. For every problem, for every trial, for every hindrance, the Bible has a solution. Let's go with the word of God. Will you do that? Let's go with the word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, in the name of